Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus.
There we go. Good morning, 10 o'clock. How is everybody? It is a beautiful day, isn't it? You wake up and you look at this weather and you think it's a beautiful summer's day in England, isn't it? You know, midsummer in England isn't as good as this. That's why we love Joburg. Good morning to each and every one of you. If you're joining us online as well, huge, huge welcome and a warm welcome to you today. So good to have you with us virtually. We're in for a treat today because as a church today, we're going to talk to three amazing people in our congregation, three beautiful people. By the time we're done with the interview today, they're gonna feel like your best friend. You're gonna want to just do what they do and move with them in life. And some of you might even want to join their things that they get up to. And we'll see how it goes. So today we thought something a little different. We're talking about belonging and a space to belong and a place to belong as a church. Really what we are so passionate about is moving people towards Jesus. And part of that is moving each and every one of us towards spaces where we can belong so we can do life with each other, so that we can do Jesus with somebody or some other people in our lives. Our desire is so, it's so heavy on our hearts that each person in our church find a place and a space to belong, that there be a space for you, no matter whether that looks like a life group or a serving team, no matter whether that's move forward for you if you're new to church, but that you just find a space. Because I don't know about you, but life can be lonely. And trying to navigate life and do life the way we do it in Joburg in the 21st century can be so lonely. And so today we're going to talk to three amazing people in our church who have found a place to belong. Not only that, but they lead places to belong. And they're going to tell you how much it's meant to them in their lives. And you're going to learn a little bit about them. So without further ado, can I ask you, 10 o'clock, would you stand to your feet? If you're online, stand up with us, please, if you wouldn't mind. And let's welcome George and Rajan and Joy to the platform, and I'll introduce them. Come on, 10 o'clock. You can give them a little warmer welcome than that. Here we are. So, the absolute rose amongst the thorns that are these two is Joy. Joy Dickens, have a seat, you guys. So I'll introduce them one by one. Have a seat, everybody, please, if you don't mind. So Joy Dickens is married to Brandon. They've got three beautiful kiddies. Joy serves in different places and spaces at Thrive Church. She serves in our worship team. She loves to worship. She serves in our Kids Zone admin team. She serves as a life group leader. She is a pastor's kid. She'll tell you a little bit about that later on. And they have found as a family a space to belong in our church. And she means so much. I think I'm going to actually just sit so that I can see you in your faces. She means so much to so many of us. She really, really does. She's a very, very special lady. So welcome, Joy. Nice to have you with us. And then Raj, Uncle Raj, as he's known, to every kid in Kids Zone, because Raj is married to Ramona. I have two beautiful kids as well. Raj is passionate about kids. He has a job from Monday to Friday, but really he gets to work on Sundays. That's when the real stuff happens. But Raj is in Kids Zone, has been for a good number of years. He oozes kids' passion. Listen, if you're sitting here wondering as a parent, if you're online with us wondering what's the Kids Zone at Kids Zone like, it's filled with people who are passionate like him about kids. They probably love your kids more than you do. What I can guarantee is on a Sunday morning, after having tried to get your kids to church, he loves them more than you do. On Monday to Saturday, you probably would take the... But he will love your kids well for you on a Sunday. And then George Aldridge. George is married to Nyx. They have two beautiful daughters as well. And George leads our Serve the City team. The reason why this man's dressed in pink is because he's here to advertise Serve the City and to tell us that real men who uplift the fabric of South African society can wear pink. So, that is George. You can call him George, you can call him Georgie, you can call him George of the Jungle, you can call him Mr. Man United, because he took a bet with a Liverpool supporter and that bet didn't go well. And so by the time this time next week, George will have a Liverpool logo tattooed on his body. He's a man of integrity, follows through with his commitments. And so if any of you are United supporters, just come up and give this man a hug after the service, or a socially distant fist pump, or whatever you want to do. All right, let's get into it. George, we'll start with you today. Tell us a little bit about Serve the City, how it started, what you guys do, and why you're so passionate about it.
Thanks, Pastor Warren. So it's an idea that I came up with a couple of years ago. The whole concept of having a Nelson Mandela Day, you know, people reaching out to the community and, you know, doing something good for 60 minutes of the day or whatever the time frame is, I thought to myself, why do we have to dedicate one day a year to doing good? So after church one Sunday, we went down to Wee Jump with the kids and we went for lunch, and I was chatting to my mate Cole. I told him, he was the first person I told about my idea, and without hesitation, he said to me, let's do it. So set up a meeting with Pastor Byron, let him know what we were wanting to do, and he gave us the green light. So in a nutshell, Serve the City, we group of guys and one lady. We've got about 16 guys in our team and one lady. And we do everything from packing up food parcels. On a Saturday morning, we'll drive around Boksburg and Benoni, and just give the homeless something to eat for that day. We're doing a lot of work at the moment at a children's home in Boksburg called Kuselo. We're sorting out things like the electrical, the plumbing issues they have, painting, because the home has to be up to a certain standard for the department to give them the little bit of funding that they get. So we've assisted them in getting up to standard. And we're going to, it's our main project for the year, and we're going to reach out and just make that environment as comfortable and happy for those little kids as we can.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Isn't it great, eh? Really is. So you mentioned there's one lady, actually after Hope Ladies last Friday night, I got chatting to the one lady who's part of the team. And I said to her, hey, how's it going? She goes, you know, I'm part of the Serve the City team. I'm the only woman, she said. You got, what, 16 guys in your team and one woman. And I undertook, hereby fulfilling my obligations, to advertise to all the women in the church that Serve the City is for ladies as well. George will do the heavy lifting. You can see he's in absolutely peak condition. He will do the heavy lifting. You just need to come and just bring the vibe. So if you're a woman, what color shirt will they get?
The ladies will wear blue, bright blue.
Bright blue.
And yeah, the women are essential. We need a little bit of a feminine touch
to your team.
Yeah, to what we do, because most of us are a bit rough around the edges, so we need some ladies.
They need some roses amongst the thorns, that's for sure. So on a serious note, if you're a lady and you think, you know, I'd like to make a difference in a community, particularly being a children's home now that George and the team are working on, I mean, what an amazing privilege to be able to work with that. So, yeah, George will be around. He'll be the guy in the pink shirt after the service. But on a serious note, you can WhatsApp Serve the City to the church's WhatsApp number, which you should have, but it'll be on the screen throughout the service today. So you can do that. Cool. Thanks, Georgie. It's brilliant. Rog, Kids Zone leader, the one that my kids love. I mean, apart from Manny, I go, who did you have fun with today? Uncle Rog. That's the deal. Tell us about Kids Zone, why it's so important to you, why you live and bleed Kids Zone.
So Kids Zone for me is my community. You know, it's a fantastic place to be at. Reason being, there's a scripture that we installed in ourselves there, and it's from Amos 3:3. No two people will walk together unless they've agreed. And it's been fantastic. We've a team that have agreed to walk together and support awesome. The youngsters and grow them. You know, I always say this, we see the future there. And that is why it's so passionate for me. Those kids are everything to us. You know, they're a team that we can draw, we can build, we can nurture, and we can get them to be the better future of this community at large. So that is why it's so passionate about.
Yeah. When did your love for kids start? Because you were saying to me earlier before the service, like you've just always loved kids.
You know, growing up in a community in KZN.
Durbs.
Yeah, Durban.
Just please pause there, Raj. Is there ever an Indian that lives in Joburg that didn't grow up in Durbs? Because Joy's going to tell you in a moment, where did she grow up? Durban. She had bunny chow. I had the best prawn bunny I've ever had in Durban the other day. Prawn bunny. Anyway, we don't. Debbie, you can keep your braai. We'll go prawn bunny anytime.
So sorry, yeah, Raj. Growing up in KZN, it's more family orientated, and people tend to spend a lot of time together. So amongst that, there was a joy that came into me, and a love for kids was because at that given time, I was the eldest in our community with the kids, and I had to watch over them and make sure that they were taken care of. And that love just grew and grew and grew. But the biggest point in my life was when my eldest was born. And, you know, I was so disappointed at a stage where they said to me, they said to us it was a boy all along. And you know that joy that you feel and you want, okay, there's my boy coming, this is what we're going to do. And a few months later, they decided to say, no, it's a girl. And you know, you drop, as a father, at that stage, I dropped, and I'm like, ah, no, what now? And I was like reluctant to this, you know. But you know the joy that came into me when she was born and I got to cut the cord, that gave me the love. That just sparked something in me to say, well, that's where you need to minister. That's where you got to be. Wow. You got to be with the kids. And ever since then, I never looked back, and I just love kids. Kids, I wish I could have 20, but unfortunately, 2 is it. And yeah. So after the service, Ramona's going for counseling, by the way, to Pastor B. So we'll see what comes out from there. But kids are kids. That's my passion. That's my love. And like Pastor B says, we love your kids actually more than you guys. You don't really know it, but your kids can show you. And those are the passion for us. We just love them. We want to spend all our time with them. Monday to Friday, like you say, you work. But on a Sunday, we get up at 6, and we're here. By 6:45, we're here waiting for these youngsters. We just want to build them so that they can build a better community for us.
So good, man. Isn't that awesome, eh? So much passion. So much passion. So, Rog, you're a pastor's kid, right?
An eldest kid.
An eldest kid. Yeah. An eldest kid. And Joy is a pastor's daughter. We'll come to Rog and talk a little bit about his journey and how he came back. But you had a little bit of a prodigal daughter kind of moment. You can run and hide, but eventually God got your number. And here you are serving as a family, and you and Brandon leading your kids into that. Tell us about worship, which is your great passion. Why it means so much to you, and why the worship team means so much to you.
Thanks, Pastor B. Hi, everyone. The worship team is my tribe. Whoop, whoop. I love them. And I've grown up in church, as you've mentioned. My parents are here, so I have to watch what I say, guys. So I grew up in church, always been exposed to worship because both my parents are worshipers, musicians, my brother's well musicians. So really worship was the gift that God instilled in me, and wow. I love it.
with all my heart.
Yeah. What does the worship team mean to you? Like, how do you guys interact? Like, what's it like being part of the worship team? I think many people here wonder, like, what is it like to be part of this crazy group of people that arrive here so early, always on Thursday nights? Like, what's it like?
Yeah, they're a dodgy bunch, Pastor.
They are dodgy.
No, they really are my tribe. I think as musicians and worshippers, we understand each other better than anybody else. And it does get crazy at times, but... You know, just to be amongst people that are so passionate about the presence of God. I see that even with this morning, there is such a tangible presence of God in this place. And just to be amongst people that have that passion is so energizing, and it just lifts me and encourages me. And, you know, worship has carried me through some of the most difficult times in my life.
Sure.
And so they mean so much to me. And I was waiting because I've got a three-year-old. Well, my daughter's now six. She was three when we joined. And she was uncomfortable going to Kids Zone, so I couldn't really join the worship team immediately.
Yeah.
I had to wait for her to adjust, and I couldn't wait for her to be adjusted so that I could join the team.
Yeah. Can I ask you a question about what you've just said now? You said worship carried you. Yeah. Just explain what you mean by that to certain people, or to us all, I guess, because people might be wondering, like, how does worship carry you? Like, what did you do, and what effect did it have on you?
So, for me, worship is really just reminding God of His promises to us and His word, because that's what we sing back to Him. I mean, every song that we sing is a promise that God has given us. And so, for me, it's the word of God, and that is what has carried me through difficult situations. I remind God of His promises through every song. And I think I always say to Josh, our eldest son who leads worship as well, you've got to live through a song. You've got to live it. And you've got to, you know, in order to be able to really worship God and to understand His word and understand His character, that happens in the valley. Sure. That happens when you go through your darkest times. So I live through a lot of the songs that I worship to at home. And my kids think I'm crazy. But we have worship playing all the time in our house. And it's a lifestyle for us.
So powerful what you say, because two weeks ago in our Edenvale campus, we had the most insane worship day in Edenvale 2 weeks ago. Both services just felt like heaven had opened and the Spirit of God just descended, you know. And I was chatting to one of the worship team there, and the lady was saying to me how she really didn't feel like she could believe the song the moment the band started up for the day, the moment the worship team got going. She was struggling to believe the words that she was singing. But as she sang them more and more and more, and as she repeated them, and as she reminded God of His promises, and as she kept singing those words, they became more real to her. And, you know, guys, maybe pause and take a short left here quickly. I think that's so fundamental and such a key part of our life and our faith is we don't feel our way to following Christ. We act our way to following Jesus. So it means, like, when it comes to serving the poor, like, which is very close to Jesus' heart, it means we've got, you know, these are the Nutrigo packs. I'll just hold it up so you can have a look. So they're for sale, as Colleen taught us today, not at the info desk, at Cafe Connect. But it means we act our way into going and buying some. We don't feel like serving the poor, we actually act our way. We don't feel like worshiping, we sing our way to worshiping. Are you with me? We don't feel our way to reading Scripture. We open the Scripture and let it speak to us. Rog, what do you do on the days when, okay, maybe I should start by asking you, is there a day when you feel, yes, I don't know if I feel up for serving today? Has that ever happened to you? I know it's Kids Zone, so like it's your blood bleeds kids, you know, but like, is there a moment that you've encountered where you've felt like that?
Yes, there was a moment like that, and I remember it very clearly. It was when things were starting to slip a little bit, and I was going down a bad patch.
Yeah.
Things weren't working out the way it was supposed to. You know, we moved up to Johannesburg, and we were looking for a place to worship, and we never got, we went to numerous churches, but we never got a place. And then driving down the road here, we picked up the Thrive signboard, and at that time it was Living Waters.
Yeah.
So we decided to drive in and try to find a place. And, you know, we got here, and when I got here, immediately I said to Ramona, this is the place. We're not going anywhere. This is where we're staying. And from that day, that slump of wanting to leave everything aside because I couldn't find somewhere to share my ministry and to build on was like becoming a burden upon me. And it came to a point where I said, oh, it's not going to work. I'm just going to sit at home and read my Bible and watch on TV and get going. But it came to a stage when I stepped in here and I realized, okay, this is home. And it didn't take me long after that to get over, because I think within the same year I did Move Forward, and immediately after Move Forward I moved into Kids Zone, and that ministry just started growing again
and again.
But it was difficult the first year being up here, because you must know I was alone here. Ramona wasn't with me, so it was up and down looking for a place, making sure, and then eventually we did find what we were looking for in Thrive, and that's how it was. But that was the only time, Pastor B. It was because I couldn't find a place to do ministry.
To stay. Yeah.
And to stay. Yeah. So that was.
Georgie, for you, as you started to serve the city, like there must have been obstacles to overcome. You know, you've got this fantastic group of guys and one lady, but after today, that'll change. Got this fantastic group of people, but you had to start it. Which is like an obstacle. I mean, you had to start somewhere, and then you had to invite people in. Speaking to people now who we're inviting into spaces to belonging, what would you say to people sitting here wondering, like, is it worth it for me to make the effort to be a part of a life group or to be part of a serving team or be part of a Serve the City team? What would you say to guys about, like, is it worth it? And is it worth taking, you know, that initial step? You had to start the thing, but other people here have to join up to something. Is it worth it, and why?
I'll start off by saying, I mentioned this earlier, but people that know me well will think I'm crazy by saying this, but when I first joined Thrive, I was quite shy, a bit of an introvert, didn't say much, didn't look left or right. But I started getting plugged into the church. I did Move Forward. I got baptized. And as I started getting involved more in the church, so my confidence began to increase, and by my confidence increasing, it gave me the guts to start STC, and I honestly feel that without the community being what it is, accepting myself and my family for who they are, Life Group is just an amazing way to connect with like-minded people. I mean, on a Wednesday night, we have an absolute jewel on Life Group. We have a good laugh, but at the same time, we get the message across about what we're trying to learn. So, if I could tell anybody sitting here that's not involved on a serving team or in a Life Group, you're missing out. You guys really, really, really need to get involved, because not only are you growing spiritually, but the friendships that you form along the way and the satisfaction that you get in serving and assisting others. And on the STC side of things, it's a very humbling experience. We've been into some areas where it is absolute poverty. And it's humbling, but at the same time, it just reminds me every single day how God has blessed me and my family and every single guy on the team. So I just, guys, get plugged in.
So good. Gives you perspective, hey? Because, I mean, you're there. Look, we think we've got a problem until we go somewhere and you see somebody with that level of poverty.
You know, it's. I was saying to Johnny about 3 weeks ago, we went to the Checkers and we bought a whole lot of groceries, you know, non-perishables. And along with a friend of the family, he's trying to assist a squatter camp in Bradell. And I mean, we've been on Easter runs into squatter camps, you know, for the kids. But I think one thing I'll never ever get used to is when you walk into this kind of environment and you just see how these people are living. I'll never ever get used to that and how it makes a person feel. It's just, it's heartbreaking. But like I said, the main aim of our group is just to try and assist where we can as much as possible. And even if we just make a difference in one person's life by what we're doing, job done. Happy with that.
Yeah, absolutely, Georgie. That's brilliant. If any of you are involved with companies and you're wondering if any of your companies want to make donations and get a Section 18A tax deduction, remember Shine is our social justice organization. It's got a non-profit organization number. It will give you an 18A deduction for anybody here who's working for a company who wants to do that. Likewise, Thrive can give you a Section 18A as well. For any donations that you make that you want to pass on to the Serve the City team. So if your company's got a burden for feeding people, you can contribute and we'll make sure that it gets done. We'll make sure that the love is passed forward, you know? And we'll give you a certificate and a confirmation and all that stuff. Many people ask, like, how can I help? And, you know, you might be sitting here and have influence in a company, so that's the way you can do that. Join us Thursday night, because many folks here don't know that on a Thursday night, the worship team would practice. So not only are you here Thursday night, you're here Sunday mornings bright and early. Tell us about the nights, like, when you don't feel like coming. And you've had, like, a long day, and maybe Josh, we all know, well, not all of us, but many of us know Josh. Maybe Josh has given you a hard time in the day. Maybe James has been a bit of a handful.
James is the one. So Pastor B, we run a business as well. So it's a hectic life that we lead as a family. So, yeah. You know, on any given day, it's crazy in our house. There are definitely days when I feel like, oh, I could give it a skip tonight.
Especially winter, hey?
Especially winter.
Yeah.
But honestly, being on the worship team is such a pleasure and such a joy. Firstly, because I love to worship. So, you know, you've got to push past those moments when you don't feel like it. Like you said, it's not about a feeling.
Yeah.
It's about a commitment. And as a family, we've made a choice. And after many years of pain and heartache and going by our feelings, we made a choice that serving God is not about how we feel on the day. It's about being committed to the cause that is far bigger than ourselves.
So good.
A purpose that is far greater than we could ever imagine. Yeah. And that is what keeps us going. That is what gets us up and up at 6 o'clock to be here at 6:30 or 5 o'clock to be here at 6:30. And honestly, once you've finished, you know, your session with the worship team or a life group, it just energizes you. And God just fills you up and he replenishes you.
Yeah. You feel like a million times better.
Oh,
hey?
Absolutely.
Although it's weird. Like, so life group, I often think about this, you know, 7 o'clock, don't be the person that phones your life group leader at 7 or 1:45 and goes, or not phones because you're too bung because you know you're being a skabanga. So you WhatsApp and say, I'm sick. I've had a long day. And that gets, the wonderful thing about being a life group leader is everybody knows when you're lying, eh? Like, we all know, don't we? But it's like 6:45 and you know how it is. We've had a long day and we feel tired. And then you want to send the text or you want to send the message. But you end up going and it's like you were at a 3 when you arrived at worship practice or at life group. Early Saturday morning, you know, early Sunday morning for your Raj with kids. You're at like a 3. You're feeling tired. You're feeling a bit ragged. You're feeling a little bit, I don't know if this is worth it. But just being together with your team, with your tribe, you leave like on an 8 and a 9. And you think, how is it possible that it's now 10 o'clock at night? And yet I feel so energized. I feel so full of purpose. And Joy, you mentioned throughout the course of today the words purpose and passion. I want to ask each of you guys, you've all found a purpose and a passion in your lives. Like for you, it's worship. For Roger, it's you kids. For you, George, it's serving the poor. That purpose, that passion. Try and describe for us, like let's move from headspace to heart space. Try and describe for us in your heart, how you feel, like George after a Saturday, Raj after a Sunday morning with the kids, Joy like after a great worship set, like after a set when you've led like many Kwachi Achikums led today, like a boss. Manny, that was amazing. Wherever you are, Manny, that was amazing. How do you feel in your heart? Like, give us some heart words. Go for you, Georgie. Don't cry.
I think I touched on it a little bit earlier, but
I can pretty much use one word to sum up how I feel personally after we've done a run. And it's pure humbleness. I mean, you know, there's so often that we take so much for granted, and just being exposed to the other side of the plectrum, if that's for lack of a better word. But I mean, it's a weird feeling. It's like I'm on the fence.
Yeah.
I'm happy and content that we've gone out and been able to make a difference. But on the other side, my heart is broken because I promise you, just you can't even wrap your head around the conditions that these people stay in. And you know, the biggest thing is they've all still got smiles on their faces.
Yeah.
They greet you with open arms. They're very thankful for what they have. And it's a tough one because it's a roller coaster of emotions most times. But at the end of the day, it makes me content and happy to know that me and my guys are making a difference. I and one lady are making a difference, you know, in our surrounding community. So, it's a whirlwind, but it's a good one. It's a good feeling, yeah.
Do you know whether it's that the overwhelming sense of the poverty or like it's the heartwarming that you've done something? At least you know you're alive, hey? Because you felt stuff that day. Trevor Hudson said something to me the other day that really made a difference to me. He said, you know, we can sleepwalk our way through life. We can sleepwalk our way through things in our country. But George, I just want to congratulate you and your team and say well done. You guys, sometimes we think the need is so big we can't do anything, but you guys are doing something. So well done, man. Well done, well done. Rog, for you.
So, for me, it's just that warm feeling, you know, just that to say I've achieved something with kids, and also to bring me back to humanity, you know, those kids, they just bring you back to your knees, you know, it leaves you with such a passion when you leave here, you got so much of joy knowing that you've done something for this kid that is going to go out there and share, it's just a warm sensation that runs through you when you leave on a Sunday afternoon from here, that you did something for these kids. You know, kids are the best thing that can ever happen to anybody. They bring so much joy. They bring, at some days they bring sadness to you, but when they bring you that joy, it's just it's you can't talk about it. It's just passionate. You just feel that love when you leave. You know, knowing that you did something good.
Yeah.
And to install the blessing and the love and the teaching of our Father above in these kids, that's all. It just makes you feel, I don't know, wonderful. It's there's no words to describe it when you leave on a Sunday.
So good.
And you know, beside that, you know, I have 150 people that work underneath me.
Sure.
But ask me to remember the kid's name that I taught on Sunday. It's easier for me. So it just leaves that passion in my heart to say, I love you guys. I love these kids. And just to go away on a Sunday the whole week and keep praying for them, and then you see them the next Sunday, it's amazing.
It's amazing.
And it's a wonderful place to be. It's a wonderful community to be in. And let me just tell you, your kids are safe there. There's no need for you to worry. We will love them. We will make sure that their nappies are changed. We'll make sure that you get them back after service. So don't be scared to leave them with us. Okay. We won't steal them. We won't take them away. But yeah, it's just the passion. It's just the love for them.
If I said to you, 30 seconds, talk to parents here who might be bringing their kids once every 3 weeks, or every 4 weeks. Tell us why it's so important for you guys as the kids are leaders, but more importantly, for them as kids to be here every week. What does it do for them?
So if you look at the ministry at Tribe, we have series that we teach every week.
Yeah.
And to look at that, if you put yourself in the position of the kids, if you don't bring them, they're not going to fulfill the ministry. They're not going to fulfill that series that we have. And it's so important that you bring them to us because we make a connection with them. It's easier to connect with somebody that you see more often than seeing somebody once a week twice a month. It makes it easier for us to make sure that your kids are still going the right path. It makes it easier for us to connect with them and to keep teaching them. So to bring your kid to Kids Zone every week, it's a blessing to you Because remember, so you are caretakers of these kids. And it instructs you in the Bible to bring your kids so that they can learn. You know, for us, that's what we're here for. That's what we're going to do. Bring your kids. The more they hear, the better it becomes. It's easier for you when they're at 15 and 16 years because they've been installed with the right teachings.
So good,
in
Raj.
Kids zone.
So good.
Guys, I encourage each parent to try your best to bring each kid every week to
great,
us.
Great, Raj. Thank you. That's so important. Thank you. Joy, for you, heart, what happens after worship? Or a Sunday or a Thursday?
Yeah, so the thing that happens to all of us, I'm sure, in the worship team is that we have this awesome time and we're all excited and we loved it and it was amazing and there's, you know, passion. And but there are times when we're really going through genuine trials
stuff.
And I find in those times, you just reminded me, Pastor B, of something that Pastor Trevor Hudson actually said. He said, it's easy to worship Jesus. It's not so easy to follow him. And
sure.
That statement has just stuck with me because, you know, as an older woman, now more mature in my faith.
I wouldn't call you old, Joy.
Okay, a young, more mature woman. I've come to understand that worship is about me knowing who God is and the character of who he is. So, yes, I love the high. I love being able to jump around and I'm crazy like that. But every time I leave here on a Thursday, every time I leave my amazing worship team and my tribe, they challenge me to know Jesus more. They challenge me to know his character more. And even in those difficult situations, Lord, what are you teaching me about who you are through this worship, through what I'm singing?
So true.
And through
so
the
true.
People I'm with.
Character of God, hey?
Yeah.
Yeah. My invitation as we... we're going to say goodbye to these three in just a minute. My invitation is really to find your purpose and find your passion. And when you do that, you'll find your space to belong. You'll find your space to belong. And it might well be that you try something and it doesn't feel right. You might join a life group and you go, I don't know if these guys are really my tribe. Well, then try another one. Don't give up on it just because the first one didn't work, you know? I mean, we had to rotate George through 5 life groups before finally. Raj, we're still trying to get him into the... okay. Raj is enjoying his life group. But find your space. Don't sleepwalk your way through life. Find your purpose, find your passion. And when you do, you'll find your space to belong. It changes everything. And we realize church is not a place we come to. Church is an identity that we connect in. Church isn't, we don't come to church, we are the church. And you three just embody that. So I want to say a huge, huge thanks to each and every one of you for putting yourselves out there and putting yourself up in front of us all and online. And we appreciate you guys. We love you guys, each of you very, very much, and your families. So thank you. Come, church, can I ask you to stand and just give them a lot of thanks?
We hope you have been blessed and helped by this message. For more information about our church, visit our website at www.thrivechurch.co.za.